Meow, meow. It's on the...
Meow, meow.
Michael Dean, physical removal of bad audio page.
Meow. Meow.
Meow.
Yeah.
He's doing the intro.
I can not mean. I know it by heart.
Go ahead.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, and intergalactic furry studios from the Ultra Locus to release by warming your synapses and rejuvenates with radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Angela Keaton? Can you feel it, Michael W. Dean?
Yes.
I can feel it.
I feel it.
And the Freedom Fiends is brought to you by a Bipcot No Government.
Edgy stabbing.
You guys are going so fast. I feel it in places I'm not going to discuss on an FCC stations.
Places that only Kelsey Grammer and your higher power know about.
Oh, wow. Unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah. Well, all right. So,
anyways, the show is covered by a Bipcot No Government license. It allows use and reuse by anyone except governments. You can learn more at bipcot.org. And by governments, I mean state governments.
Like the state of Israel that we're going to talk about tonight. And it's not PC, but we're not anti-Semitic. We'll just say it. You know, it's weird that you have to say that kind of stuff, because you kids, you gosh darn kids, I can't tell when you're serious and when you're not. Like, you know, you never do give disclaimers. You never put LOLs when you're laughing, and you think it's square if someone does. But we got some real stuff to talk
about. I just don't think it's masculine.
Well, how, you know... Angela, if you're really proud, if you're really comfortable in your masculinity, you don't have to make conscious decisions of, like, you know, what's masculine and what's not. What do you
I'm
think of
sorry,
that?
I'm sorry, I'm not as comfortable in my masculinity as you are.
I put cat faces still, and I'm a full-grown man.
I do, too. Well, you and I both are, like, nutty about cats like a little girl. We both have cats, and we both talk to them and love them and blah, blah, woof, woof. I mean, meow, meow.
Yeah, colon
meow. Meow, 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 meow. Well, let's start with some of our less serious topics. Well, this is kind of serious, but it's kind of funny. Angela, I'm dying to know, did you... Well, I'm not really dying, and you will be able to bet on me in a Deadpool, but that's coming up later. But only if you pay an Italian lira. So, Angela... Show me on the doll where Gary Johnson touched you. Did you get high with him?
No.
Okay.
I've never gotten high with Governor Johnson.
Speak up. Okay, so...
He
said he stopped smoking marijuana for this presidential campaign, which I think sounds like a lie. I don't know that it is, but I think it sounds like one in the same way... That when Bill Clinton was on that really scripted MTV thing about 90 years ago, and some kid pulled out a 3x5 card and read it and said, "Have you ever smoked marijuana?" And he looked thoughtful and said, "Well, I smoked it once, but I did not inhale." And that is the same answer as Johnson's thing. It's basically, it sounds like a straight up lie, but it sounds like a dog whistle. So the cool kids will go, nod, nod, wink, wink. Ooh, he's one of us. And then the old guard who think marijuana users should be put in Gitmo will go, okay, I think I'm satisfied with that. I'll keep donating. What do you think, Angela? What do you know, Angela? That's what I'm asking.
Let's talk about what's really known about this. Now, we've had people, you know, I know people, I have access to experts in this area, and there was a lot of analysis, particularly in the antiwar.com green room. We're examining the tapes of Gary Johnson's Aleppo discussion and
what's
the
Aleppo?
Interviews he did.
For people who don't know. Oh, Aleppo. Radio. Aleppo. I thought you said Leppo. I thought it was some kind of like daubing marijuana extract. No. Aleppo, which is a town.
I thought that was an acronym.
And he didn't know what it was. That's what he said. How do you guys keep up on all this crap? See, here's my problem with you gosh darn kids.
Face beast.
I have face beast too, but, you know, it's controlled by the Israeli government. You know, that sounds like a crazy conspiracy theory that you'd hear on... anyone on our network. No, anybody. That sounds like something you'd hear on late night talk radio from someone other than us. And they'd say it for different reasons than we do. But Glenn Greenwald says it's true, and I believe him. And he is the guy who, what's he best known for? He broke the, what's the guy's name?
It's
the girl's name.
he's been very involved in the Edward Snowden stories, WikiLeaks, Justice for Chelsea Manning. He's a journalist and a lawyer. He's been extremely active against against the National Security State and Empire for the last several years now. He wasn't always this good on these issues, but he's one of those people who's evolved over time to be really, really strong champion for human rights against the abuses of the empire.
Yeah, and he's also like one of six liberals in the world that I would consider having lunch with if they wanted to, probably. In other words, he's a liberal, but he's like, he's not a liberal. He's a liberal who doesn't trust Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. All right. He's that kind of liberal. Like he's, he's someone who has these kind of ideals like people had in the 60s and 70s of that democracy could work. You know, those kind of people make the best whistleblowers. You know, like Snowden considers himself a patriot. He's no anarchist. And the same thing with Chelsea Manning. Same thing with Snowden. Same thing with the guy that did the Pentagon Papers. Same thing with who was the guy recently that was like a member of the NSA that got thrown in jail for being a whistleblower on the NSA wasting money? You'd know, Angela.
There's
a
few people who's in jail, including Jeffrey Sterling, who's maybe dying, but there's a bunch of whistleblowers. There's like at least four that are on Twitter that they're
Here's why I don't mind people who are statist and, you know, think you can fix democracy who are also whistleblowers, because those are the only people who could get to be whistleblowers. Like, you know, you don't generally like stuff from whistleblowers isn't generally from people hacking into databases remotely from their bedrooms. It's usually from the guy sitting in the office of the people who are being blown, the whistleblowees, you know? Like, it's the guy who works at the NSA who he suddenly realizes, wait, who's doing bong hits on my show? Angela?
So you? Not me. Not me.
Not me, dude. All right. Are we going to keep up this geopolitical thing, or we just want to talk about Blue Oyster Cult for an hour? All right, so Angela and I have an interesting relationship.
I think the person smoking the bong would love to talk about Blue Oyster Cult.
Well, you would think so, but I think Angela has an interesting relationship with them, because I've had long, meaningful emails with Angela about Blue Oyster Cult and my love-hate relationship with them, including, I think, telling her the same two different stories two different times and forgetting, and I don't even smoke pot. But, you know, if I've sent you the same story twice, Angela, I don't apologize. It's because I smoked a lot of pot when I was your age, or early, or Jim's age, or younger. But, okay, back to our geopolitical. Anyway, I was just saying that, you know, and I won't say they're useful idiots. I'll say they're useful statists. The ones who, you know, who work in the offices that can get the data to leak it are always the ones that are the best leakers. And then, of course, there's the, you know, then there's the Russian hackers that say, hey, NSA, we just hacked you. Here's all your tools. We're going to release them to the public. But, you know, and That's the government being hacked, the same government that says, we need a backdoor into your encryption, and don't worry, we won't let anybody get a hold of it. But, yeah, go on, Angela. So
the whistleblower you meant with the Pentagon Papers is Daniel Ellsberg.
Yeah, that guy.
Only the second greatest living patriot that isn't Chelsea Manning. And
I agree. Ellsberg. I just almost spit soda because I love the way you put it.
But Daniel Ellsberg has been an absolute star on war cases, and he says nothing but wonderful things about antiwar.com and on Scott's show, so he's very supportive of what we're doing. Yeah. I just want to quickly mention Jeffrey Sterling. He's a lawyer and a former CIA employee, and he was arrested and charged on the Espionage Act, and he's in three and a half years right now in prison. Please look up that case. It's one of those situations where it's just utterly unbelievably unjust, and it's really important we constantly pay attention to our whistleblowers. It's one of the few things between us and having any kind of journalism at all or any kind of knowledge about what's going on with our money. And that's about as serious as I'm going to get, because I need to get back to the real topic of Yuri Johnson. I've had experts analyze the tapes. I have people. I mean, I have access to some of the most knowledgeable.
What tapes are you talking about?
Of Yuri Johnson in his recent interviews in the past 4 days, it's clear, there's clear circumstantial evidence.
What happened during this interview, allegedly?
He's just being interviewed. Well, it's clear that he is using marijuana in the form of an edible. And the edible is something that's usually a baked good.
First of all, how can you be so sure? And second of all, how can you be so specific? So it's not like there's something sitting on the table and you recognize the packaging.
No, but I did do the jitterbug with him at Freedom Fest in 2011.
Freedom Fest, which is where you are usually the token libertarian girl speaker.
Right. A flapper? There was flip-flapping, and there was dancing, there was jitterbugging, there was swinging, there was the twist.
Charleston.
There was some of that.
The Watusi.
If you can, yes. Yes.
All right.
Yes, that's right. But I did dance with him once at Freedom Fest, and his unusual movements and the way his eyes were looking back, it was clear that marijuana is a part of his life.
Here's what I think. I think it doesn't matter. I think it's interesting that you think you know, and I'm not saying that like you don't know. I'm carefully choosing my words because this is the kind of thing people get sued over, even allowing it on their radio show. You know, they'd sue me and GCN, not you probably, but I don't think we can get sued over. I'm just being careful. I don't think it matters because it's obvious to everybody, at least on this show, that marijuana not only should be completely legal and unregulated, I don't do it. I just don't see the problem with it. I think it's not a thing, is what I'm saying. Like, I don't think it's a deal. Now, you could say, well, okay, granted, but it's a deal that a guy running for president who wants the public's trust maybe lied. I don't think that's a thing either. I mean, I think that running for office is a lie. I think office is a lie.
System's a lie. But this is the best thing that's happened to Gary Johnson.
Why? Kink is a lie.
We can maybe next segment if I can fit that in.
No, I'm trying to get you to get it over with before this segment's done. But
you and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
What's that noise? What are you doing?
Sorry, I'm having a discussion with myself.
Cool. You want to share it with
dank, dank 9/11 memes?
Why don't you share it with the whole class there, Angela?
Well, I know this is going to be horrible radio, but what just hit me so in the last segment was that the whole joke on about Gary Johnson is that Gary Johnson and Jill Stein, while very accomplished, are normal people. And that normal people, it's in such contrast to Trump and Clinton. And that's the only thing I have to think about the election that stands out to me. Because the whole thing is what that is. But how normal they seem. And
it's pretty bizarre to me, too, that Trump thinks he's a normal people and is getting the normal people to relate with him. Same with Hillary, too. Like, it's not only that they're billionaires. I don't know that Hillary's a billionaire on paper, but she is, you know. There's kinds of power that go with money that makes it beyond money. Like, for instance, you know, Barack Obama on paper has like $10 million or something, but compare his power, even when he's out of office, to, you know, some anonymous $10 million factory owner. You know, there's no comparison. She's and she may have a trail of bodies behind her. You will know us by the trail of our dead. That's her favorite band. I'll put it that way. So, speaking of trails, I'll get back to that topic in a second.
Yes.
Dead people, dead pools. But the image I'm using for the show tonight probably has nothing to do with the show, and I don't even know what the title is going to be, but it's this awesome image that this dude sent of his dog sled. Did you guys see this picture, Angela? Jim?
The dog sled.
Yeah, you don't even know. She's stoned. All right, so the dog sled picture, it's somebody holding, it's somebody on a dog sled, but it's the summer in Alaska, and they're, I guess they have wheels they can put on their dog sled, and there's like 10 dogs pulling this guy out in front of him in the picture. It's a selfie of him holding up his coffee cup, not his face, like away from his face, what's in front of him, and it's dogs pulling his dog sled and him holding up his coffee cup, and it's got a BIPCOT sticker on it, the BIPCOT no government license sticker. It's just a beautiful picture that I really like, and I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
Since the dabbing story didn't really blow me away, I was going to use that dabbing meme of Gary Johnson, I've fallen and I can't get up because I'm too high thing, but I'm not, because the story, I thought Angela hinted at, like, well, I have information. I thought she was going to say, I've smoked pot with him this week and he's lying. So it wasn't quite good.
No, discretion is very, very important in my actual industry.
Oh, you just say you have evidence that he's lying and that's discreet?
No, we analyze the tapes. Look at the tapes.
I have the documents.
That's right, Alex.
Right here.
All right, so let's talk about Deadpools. It's an interesting topic. So what is a Deadpool, Jim? Okay,
so Deadpools have different kind of incarnations. The Deadpool that I'm familiar with and the Deadpools that I participate in is where you get together with a group of your friends, you put some money aside, and you say, hey, we're gonna guess on who's going to die in a certain time frame, usually within, you know, the first day of the year to the last day of the year. And you have to guess how many celebrities are going to die, or people that we know, or whatever, are going to die within the year. The person who guesses the most amount of people within a certain confined list, usually it's about 20, list of 20 people each at most, and whoever gets the most amount of people who are going to die in a certain year wins the pot.
Yeah, like everybody puts in some money. Like in yours, it's how much? 2.2 Bitcoin or something.
So we were going to do it this year, and it fell through. But the year before, it was $10, and the person $10 each, and the person who won was Josh Cardozzi. He actually has a YouTube channel. He won it last year. It was for $10.
All right. $10 to clarify, Bitcoin. I don't think we fully explain it yet for people who might not, who have never heard of this and aren't from the world of anybody who would enjoy something like this. It's basically a bet, usually among friends, but sometimes it's larger, open to the public. It's a bet where everybody puts in money, and it's kind of a dark humor, crass bet of who's going to die when, and whoever gets, you have to be on the date or closest. With yours.
No, you have to, so that we have it within a year. So whoever dies from January 1st of the year to December 31st, whoever dies in that time frame in that year, counts as 1 point. So yeah, I have a list of people. Let's say that I have Joe, Bob, and whatever, and Joe dies, but no one else guesses anybody else who dies. I win the pot for that year. But right. If someone guesses two people, then I lose. And
there's an age limit. Like, you can only have a certain number over 70.
Or at least in my pot, but we'll talk about that.
All right. Yeah. Two.
In my pool. I don't do the pots.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no first-hand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth Justice American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth Justice American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth Justice American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth Justice American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Deadpool. And for the record, Michael Dean is not in my Deadpool.
Well, he's not. I'm going to put me in my Deadpool. I don't think I'm going to die either, but, I think I'm either going to die in the next couple of years or live to about 95 or 100.
So. Yeah, it's the ones like you who I find the ones that are always sick never die.
Yeah. Well, they said Selby was dying for like 40 years, and he died at 75, which is a respectable age to die at. It's not young at all. My dad just turned 95 this past week, and yeah, my daughter died at 22. I posted something about that, and a lot of people saw it. And the 10-year anniversary of that's coming up, of her death, which is why I'm thinking about it a lot. And let's see, what else? I nearly died last year. I'm not dying now. So you have a rule that people in your Deadpool have to have a Wikipedia page, right? They have to be somebody.
Okay. Yeah. So, in order to participate in the Deadpool, there's some rules. I don't have them
Angela,
in front of me, but I kind of have them memorized.
Angela, can you talk? I'm sound checking some.
Oh, I'm hearing sound checked for you.
Yeah. Well, we're sound checking again. I'm having it
again. I'm more checked. Yeah. I'm double checked.
Okay, Jim. Good.
Okay. And so the one of the first rules is, in order for you to submit, at least the ones that we do online, for friends or whatever, we can include our people that we know. But when I'm doing it on the internet, the rule is they have to be someone with a Wikipedia page. Not a stub. It has to be a full-on page.
Oh. And mine's a stub, and it's only on the Italian Wikipedia.
Okay, so you would not qualify for it.
But now, if it wasn't a stub, I'm not going to go edit it. I'm just saying, like, if it was a full page, only on one country, though, would that count or not?
No.
Does it have to be U.S.? Or are you just all
It has to be. It has to be. I think it has to be all American, or at least English. At least the English. Yeah. So. Yeah. And that's just to kind of establish some sort of notoriety. Some sort of notoriety.
All right, good. Then I'm not going to be your Deadpool. I'm kind of happy, actually.
Yeah. I mean, even if you were, I would not put you on, because I've had Artie Lang on every Deadpool that I've had so far, and he's always disappointed. It would be disappointing if he died on top of that, but it's disappointing that that was the one that I've...
Artie Lang.
Artie Lang is a... No, he's a comedian. He was on the Howard Stern show, and he ended up having to quit because he has drug problems, and he tried to commit suicide once.
Well, that's another thing, too. Like, how do Deadpools deal with, or is it just... how do you deal with people who live a lifestyle where they could easily die?
Well, no, they can be on your list.
Do you know, speaking of lifestyles where you can usually die, do you know where the Deadpool started? When people started doing this and calling it that?
I do not know. Where I got the idea from was a radio talk show host named Tom Likas, who used to do one every year.
Okay, this it in the modern form, as it's called, as a Deadpool, it came around 1915 at the beginning of the Indianapolis 500, and it was on drivers for the Indianapolis 500. Fun fact. There's also a movie called Deadpool, which is it's not horrible, but it's not great. It's kind of campy. It's a Dirty Harry movie. It's the fifth and final Dirty Harry movie.
Oh.
Have you guys seen it, Angela?
No.
You notice, like, when she's really high, I say her name a lot. It's to, like, snap her out of it to bring her into our world. Because she takes, even when she's not stoned, she's not used to radio. She's a great talker, great mind, great voice. has a great voice, but takes a while to answer questions because she's thoughtful. That's not how radio works. Radio is like, come on, talk. But, yeah. Do you know how scratching was invented? You know, the thing they do on the hippin' and the hoppin' records? That was invented by radio DJs, you know, on music stations. Were either of you ever radio DJs on a music station? I was on one in college.
No.
Were you, Angela?
I managed.
What? Oh, you managed one?
I was a station manager.
So did you ever have to cue a record? You know what that means?
I've seen both records and things that I put needle on.
You mean your arm?
I have lots of those.
No, that was me. I'm sorry. Records. Yeah. Well, cueing a record, though. Okay. When you're playing music on a radio station, because the format of radio was, is, and will always be no dead air. Like I was saying with Angela, like, come on, let's go. You know, they want to go from a song to DJ banter right into the next song with no breaks. So to cue a record, what you do is you have the two turntables in a studio and a microphone and a mixer and headphones, and you, while the one record's playing, the next record you're going to play, you switch the mixer over so it's not broadcasting, it's only in your headphones, and you cue it up, which is you find the place it starts, but then you have to like move it back and forth a little bit to get the exact spot it starts, but then you have to take it a little behind that, you know, to through the silent groove. Like, it depends on the turntable, and you get to know the turntable. Like, with the old heavy turntables, it's like nearly a half turn or near 3/4 of a turn because it takes a while to get up to speed, and you don't want to go when you start the song. You want it to just start at the speed, so you start before that. And then with the newer aluminum turntables that are really light that came out in the 70s, you know, you only have to do it like an eighth of a turn or something. But, you know, that's how DJs on radio stations would get the record in the right place. And, you know, from that, they just kind of discovered the, hey, wait, I can make music with that. That's where scratching came from.
And, all right, and so now they have those. Yeah, now they have those slip mats, which I sell, by the way.
Which you sell, which actually that was invented. Did you read that article? Did you know about that before that I sent you?
No, we should talk about that later.
Yeah,
we should talk about headphones.
Grandmaster ADDs. Flash Crew like invented these slip mats from his mother was a seamstress, and he took felt from her, you know, piles of stuff, and so like made his own slip mats so he could scratch better. All right, so all right, Deadpool. So there's this movie Deadpool.
I wanted to finish my list of rules for Deadpools. Because there was one particular rule that you wanted me to get to, right? And that was you can't murder anybody on your Deadpool.
That's explained in this movie too. Yeah, you can't murder people to win the money in the Deadpool, and that's what the movie Deadpool is about.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you didn't know that? I've never seen it.
No, no.
Oh, okay. No. Angela, have you seen it?
No.
Okay. It's got Jim. It's Jim Carrey's first role, and his scene is on YouTube, and it's really cheesy and really funny. He plays a drug-addled rock star, and he's one of the people in this Deadpool who dies. And it's like, well, of course he's going to die. He's a drug-addled rock star. But it's kind of funny, the video that's on YouTube, that's his scene. It was his second movie he was in, but the first movie he was in, he's like in the background. This was his big break, and he, you know, spoke at the honoring of Dirty Harry's 80th birthday or something, like got up and spoke how, you know, he believed in Jim Carrey, and it started his career. But in it, he's on the set of a rock video that's a takeoff on The Exorcist, but he's in a hotel called Hotel Satan, and he's dressed as a priest, and he's singing to the little girl in bed. It's really creepy, man. And he's out of his mind on drugs, and it's filmed in a meat locker so you can see their breath. They're all freezing. But check it out, people. So that's the story of this Dirty Harry film. Is Dirty Harry is solving the mystery of who is murdering all these people to win the Deadpool. Now, I don't know if that is what actually inspired this thing, but there's something called assassination politics that I'm only talking about as a reference on radio. I'm not condoning it. But have you heard of this, either of you?
No.
All right. Angela? Hello, Angela.
Yes, somewhere out there, I've heard about this filth.
Yeah, this filth, yes. So, well, it's mentioned in Boston Tea Party's book, Moulin Labe, but in his one novel. But it's also, there was a guy named Jim Bell, who was an American crypto-anarchist who came up with the idea of assassination politics in 95. It was an 10-part essay he wrote that ended up getting him thrown in prison. Now, they didn't throw him in prison for free speech. It's hard to do, and it was harder to do in 95 than now. But they were like, how can we get this guy? And they looked at his taxes and got him for tax evasion. But basically, his idea was, well, this doesn't exist, but what about in the future if there was some kind of anonymous digital currency and you could set up a Deadpool for politicians people don't like, and people could bet on different dates they think it would die, and they'd put in this futuristic anonymous digital currency that doesn't exist in 1995. And, basically his thing was the way the assassin would collect is only the assassin would know the date the person's going to be killed. So they'd bet on that date and then kill them and then collect this money. So this, futuristic digital pseudo-anonymous currency, certainly digital currency did not exist in 1995. But when Bitcoin came out, this is one of the reasons that politicians were so against it, was somebody in Congress or somewhere brought up, wait, remember that essay from 1995? Oh my God, that might be possible now. And if you search assassination politics on Wikipedia, it actually shows, I don't think it has the Onion link, but there's actually apparently a Tor site that has that is for this purpose. It's a Deadpool for assassination politics. And this is something you'll never hear about. Like, the FBI is never going to go public. Like, they don't want to draw attention to this, is what I'm saying. So there is a Deadpool that apparently is for, politicians. So I don't think it's a good idea. I don't know if they'd actually pay out. But there's a picture of Ben Bernanke and supposedly his page on this thing. And of course, they actually tried to make it look anti-Semitic. They had his full name, Ben Shalom Bernanke. Like, I really think they're trying to make it look like, oh, this is a anti-Semitic assassination thing. But so they showed his thing, and they actually showed, it shows the Bitcoin address, and there were 200 Bitcoin in there or something. And I was like, I wonder if that's really a Bitcoin address. So I did something I never did, which is I typed out a Bitcoin address. Have you ever tried to do this, man? I had to try 8 times to get it right. And yes, it's a real Bitcoin address, and there's more money in it now than there is in this picture whenever this was taken. But yeah, it's hard to type one because they're 64 characters, I think. And they're they can be capital letters, small letters, and numbers. And if you get one wrong, it doesn't work, even if you type a capital instead of a small. So.
And you'll send it off into Nowheresville where no one can get a hold of
right.
it.
Right. I've done that. I've sent Bitcoin to the wrong address. It goes to the bottom of the ocean or the back dark side of the moon. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school, and this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I can't believe you've never seen Deadpool. I'm genuinely surprised.
And I can't believe you've never seen The Deadpool. Although, yeah. You youngsters are more into the hip new stuff than you are into checking out the classics, because you think that's for grandpa. But The Deadpool is funny, and it's worth it seeing. But Deadpool, I'm going to see Deadpool because, A, I went and looked at some clips on YouTube, and it looked really funny. And B, I trust Jim's judgment, because every recommendation he's given me for movies has worked. And C, his death clock date says he has how many seconds left to live, Jim?
It was, I closed it, I think.
It was a billion and something. What year did it say you're going to die?
1,139,000,000 seconds, somewhere in there.
Yeah, mine is 600,000 seconds something, and it's Tuesday, March 4th. 2036, it says I'm going to die. But my problem with this, and it's not just me complaining because I'm going to die before you. Of course it says that. I'm a lot older than you. But, you know, they ask you your date of birth, your sex, your body mass index, your smoking status. First of all, body mass index, yeah, I'm overweight, but body mass index is not how they measure that correctly anymore, because any bodybuilder would be considered, any bodybuilder with very little fat would be considered obese under BMI.
Morbidly obese.
Yeah. And smoking status is non-smoker, but I smoked 60-pack years. So I think it should be smoking status and did you ever smoke and for how many pack years. Yeah. And probably something about drugs, too. And probably something about occupation, too. I mean, if you're a roofer or a logger, you're probably have a lower life expectancy than someone who's a technical writer that's the same age and all the other stats the same. So
yeah, because I was a smoker for a while, but I'm not. I haven't been a smoker for almost 10 years now. 8 years. And I've never got up to a pack a day for the.
So deathclock.com is the site I was on. You were on deathclock, and it's deathclock with a C. .org, which I couldn't get to pull up. Not K. Death Clock with a K is the band. Now, amazing. I think the Death Clock with the band, since they are death or black metal, you know, I think that is a reference to kind of like sort of a Deadpool-y kind of idea. It's in the same. The name Death Clock for the band is in the same. It's on the same humor shelf as playing a Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know.
So tell me more about Deadpools. You had more to say, right?
Yeah. So, I've gotten a couple of people correct over the time. Like, I guess Mickey Rooney died. I guess Shirley Temple died.
You have to get the day year. Or just the year?
No, you just have to. You have to just you set a list. Okay, so I have a list already built for this coming year. Or
I get it. It's the year. Whereas the assassination ones, it's the day and month and year. Okay.
Yeah.
Because if it was the day, no, with the ones where you don't kill. Yours has a rule: you can't kill people, right?
If you kill someone, you're instantly disqualified.
You're so square.
All future games. Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
FBI. I'm kidding.
Yeah, that we definitely don't want someone to try to win a pool by murdering someone, because murder.
Yeah, like in that movie. All right.
Yeah. So you just have to guess. You have to guess within that time frame of a year. Who do you think is going to die in the 2017, which is what we're betting on now. And some people that I have on my list so far is Zsa Gabor, Fidel Castro, George Zimmerman, Jack Fresco, who's the Venus Project
2016.
Guy.
This was a big year so far, and it's not over.
Yeah.
Have you seen that meme? It says like
Keith Richard, Jerry Sandusky, and War Machine.
Keith Richards is not dead.
Technically, he's not.
No, but this was like, it said 2016, be like, I'm taking everybody. And it had like, I don't know, David Bowie and Harambe and the guy from Motorhead and Prince and whoever else died.
Hillary Clinton. Like,
no, that's, well, I joked about starting a BIP coin, not Bitcoin, but a Bipcoin pneumonia death pool for Hillary yesterday. I don't know. I'm kind of tired of that joke, though.
I got Bill Cosby, Edward Furlong, Bob Dole, Artie Lang, Ruth Bader Ginsburg,
Miley Cyrus. These are yours for the rest of the year.
This is the list that I'm currently building. So if they die before then, I have to like remove them and because they can't be alive or they can't be dead when the year starts.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll join. You ask me. I'm not opposed to it. I don't think it's horrible or mean. I'm just kind of like, I'm kind of busy.
Yeah. You just set the you just set it and forget it, and then when the time comes, we'll announce a winner. Then you win Bitcoin.
All right.
Contact me, you know me, Jim Alexander on FaceBeast. You got
to
be a friend.
Oh, you're talking to everybody, not me. You're talking to me.
Yeah.
You're talking to them, not me.
Both of you. Both of you.
All right. Both of us. Me and them.
Yes.
All right. When we get back, how Natalie Merchant turned me on to Blue Oyster Cult at the bus stop in eighth grade.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny.
DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers. And there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Where's the intro?
In your brain.
Intro.
Your
mom's an intro.
Your mom's an intro. My mom's dead. You know, I remember at the church farm school, bingo, that was the first time I ever encountered, like, people busting on each other's mamas, you know, like, it was bad. It was basically because this is the first time I had encountered black people, because I grew up in a town where there was one, and I got shipped off to this boarding school called the Church Farm School. I guess we're not doing an intro. And
that your ADD has been brought to you by the BIPCOT No Government License.
Yes.
Less used and reused by anyone except governments. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Well, no, it wasn't ADD. It was radio. Come on, we got to talk. We got to keep it going. There's no dead space here. And if I want to have a rant about black people, I'll just do it. So if that's what came up, if it's going to fill the space, because it's talk radio. So, you know, this is not racist. This is a fact. Busting on people, and especially their mothers, is a thing in black culture and has been for about 50 years. It entered white culture at some point, probably about 20 years ago.
About the 90s, yeah.
Yeah, but it's also where rap came from. Like, people standing on the street corner, busting on each other. Read Ice-T's autobiography. It's actually quite good. I read it in a van on tour one time. It's a quick read. I think he had some help with it. But, you know, as most celebritarians do when they write their books, celebrities do when they write their books. He talked about how rap started. And he was like, you know, when we were young, we'd stand on the street corner and just bust on each other and just basically insulting each other and kind of making nursery rhymes out of it. And that's where rap came from. Like, rap battles, too, especially, are that. But, you know, that, and we explained the scratching earlier. So you're not only getting, you know, what's wrong with Facebook and why Glenn Greenwald is cool, but you're also getting the history of rap in this episode, and that's the Freedom Fiends. So, you know, one thing. So Angela sent a couple things that we're going to talk about next, I think, about there were articles from The Guardian, the UK Guardian, of Glenn Greenwald, his excellent writing on why Facebook has biases, basically because there's government, and governments are threatening to shut them down if they don't do their bidding. But, you know, The Guardian is a really, really good publication. And you also sent me something. What was the Kelsey Grammer thing from?
That's from the Daily Mail, but I just wanted to make sure that the Glenn Greenwald piece that I sent was from The Intercept.
Yep. Oh, okay. But he also writes for The Guardian, too, doesn't he, sometimes?
For a couple years solid, he was the big draw there, and then at some point, I guess, I'm trying to remember the timeline of this, but at some point after all the revelations, he moved to what became The Intercept.
Right. So The Intercept is his thing. The Guardian was his former employer. But it's actually, you know, it's a major publication, and it actually had the guts to let him publish the leaks that he had, that Bradley / Chelsea Manning had given him about, you know, what your government is doing wrong. So,
giving them to Assange, or presumably
Assange.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, he's a good journalist. He's a journalist. He's the modern American equivalent of the guys who broke Watergate. What are their names? Broke Watergate, the Watergate story. Yes, they broke water.
Woodward and Bernstein.
Woodward and Bernstein. Yeah, he's the modern equivalent of that. And
I thought women could break water.
So those of you who are at home playing the bingo game, I got a Selby reference here. In the movie, Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, there's a section in the middle that's entirely classical music. It switches from this jazz that is most of the music, because that's what Selby listened to, and that's what he was around in the 60s, to this very proper British section where it's interviewing his two British publishers who were taken to high court, to the equivalent of the Supreme Court in England, to the Old Bailey, and it was an obscenity case for Last Exit to Brooklyn, and they had a very small fine which they could have paid, but they were like Glenn Greenwald kind of people back then. They were no, we're going to fight this and spend a lot more money than the fine to be right, and they actually kind of strengthened free speech in England for a long time by doing that. And it was Selby's book, Last Exit to Brooklyn, in 1966. It was charged. There was a bookseller charged with obscenity, and it was a huge case. And that section is all classical music. And I also want to say, remember Shulman, L. Ron Shulman, J. Neil Shulman, L. Neil Shulman, said that one of the reasons that he was a purist and nobody gave him money was because, and we're going to get to him later, maybe, was because he put classical music in his movies. But my movie used classical music too and was a financial success for an independent movie. So this section in the movie, there's a part in there where they're talking about the jurors on this obscenity trial, and he was basically calling them stupid. He said you could tell a lot about jurors by what they bring into court to read. Most of the jury, what's the paper that the naked pictures of Kelsey Grammer were in, Angela?
The Daily Mail.
Yes. He was like, most of the jurors were reading the Daily Mail. There was one who was reading The Guardian. And then he goes on and talks a bit more about the case. And about 6 minutes later, he says, and the jury went into their chambers to deliberate, and they were sending out messages, and they had to actually read the book. That was part of the thing. They made the jurors read Last Exit to Brooklyn. They brought in 12 copies of it, or 10, or whatever jury is there, and had these like working class, you know, semi-literate jurors in England read this work of literature that's actually an American piece. Very literary piece, but it's written about working class American, you know, down by the docks in Brooklyn kind of people in the 50s. So he said, and occasionally they would come out and they'd ask, what does this word mean? What does that word mean? You know, it's a book about tranny hustlers slamming speed, basically. So they held up for quite a long time in deliberation. I expect that the one chap who was reading The Guardian held them up. So basically saying people who read The Guardian are smarter and will ask questions and not do what they're told. And people who read The Daily Mail and look at pictures of naked Kelsey Grammer are not the brightest at the table. So there you go.
By the way, I think Amadeus, the reason why that was reviewed so poorly and everybody hated it and it didn't make any money is because it had classical music. Sorry.
It was a huge hit. Yeah, you're right.
It was a huge hit. Right. I'm sorry. Yeah, yep. It was considered a masterpiece.
That's funny.
By
That's
every funny. Critic. Anyways, sorry. Sorry to interrupt.
I'm done.
I've never got that argument. Like, well, the soundtrack was unappealing. That's why people hated it. I don't think I even mentioned it in my review of his film.
Yeah.
Then you overlooked it.
Well, do you have his? Do you want to talk about him? Do you have the MichaelWDean.com up where we have his comments?
Yes, I have the talking pillow.
All right, why don't you read
talking pillow, the talking stick?
Yeah, the talking stick. Go ahead and read it. Go ahead and read what. Well, give a little background. So there's this guy, J. Neil Shulman.
Pull it up. Libertarian. You go ahead and talk about it.
Yeah, this is how we do it. I'll intro it and you pull up the. Yeah. So that's we explain radio people while we do it because we're trying to train the next generation of talkers of liberty people. So. There's this guy, J. Neil Shulman, who is supposedly a... We always make this disclaimer. I'm getting kind of tired of it. We should just say, there's this dick who can't take criticism.
But Richard.
There's this guy named Janiel Shulman, who is a science fiction writer. He's a libertarian. He's been around forever. He was in the Libertarian Party like 30 years ago, I think. And now he's one of those libertarian for Trump, Trumpkins. Did you make up that awesome word, Trumpkin, Jim?
I think I've seen it before.
My wife before. Like laughed and spit soda almost when I said that. It's funny.
No, I remember. I think I heard it from someone who was in our anarcho-capitalist Discord server, and he started calling them Trumpkins, and I picked it up from there. That's where
that's nice.
Now that I think about it. So, hyper.
People like Trump who are bumpkins. So, he's a Trumpkin. So, he has a supposedly great body of work. I'm not much of a sci-fi reader, so I haven't read his stuff, and I'm certainly not going to go read a 300-page book just to be able to say, you know, to he probably thinks we should. Like he takes criticism so poorly, he's probably like, well, you don't read our book. Well, you need to go read my complete body of work before you can. No. We saw your movie and that's all we criticized. And then we've criticized how he takes criticism. That's all we've ever done.
Yeah, and I plan on actually reading the book, by the way.
You're reading it?
Night. No, I plan on it. I have a few more things in my reading list.
So supposedly his book alongside Night is a really good book, we're told, by people who read.
I'm sure Ben Stone's book's better.
Yeah. And you got it, right? You got his copy, not my copy, right?
Yeah, I got his copy.
Did you get the book I emailed to be smug to show you how the mail sucks?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think it got the mail demon, Damon took it and sent it back to you.
And put grease all over it. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Anyways, so
Janiel Shulman wrote this, he made a movie, a bad movie of his good book, and he directed it, right?
Yeah,
and we criticized him. We criticized him a bunch. It's terrible, and he keeps like getting mad at our criticism. Like it's not terrible. It's good because blah 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 blah.
Because the book is good. Because Milton Friedman liked the book. That's not.
Hey, you know what's a great book? Is Starship Troopers by Heinlein.
But have
you
ever seen the movie?
You know that movie was filmed in Wyoming. It's that planet.
And you know what really upsets me about that movie is because Denise Richards, that's her name, right? Denise Richards is naked in almost every movie she's in, except for the one movie where there's a lot of nudity.
You know what?
If she was naked, upsets me.
If she were naked in that whole movie, it still wouldn't be a worthwhile movie to watch.
That's just one more reason that infuriates me.
Yeah, well, that Bug Planet was filmed like 30 miles from here at Hell's Half Acre. It's kind of like it's weird. It's kind of like a mini, it's a hole in the ground that's really big. It's kind of like the Grand Canyon, but it's the Petite Canyon, but it's got stalagmites in the bottom of it. It's really weird. It's a good place to film a Bug Planet, but horrible movie, great book. Yeah. Go on.
Here's the
and his movie. His movie, good, alongside Night, is worse by far. Yeah.
That movie is Star Trek Troopers.
It's at least campy.
Or Freddy Got Fingered in comparison, because Freddy Got Fingered is the best movie ever. Anyway, so he wrote this comment on your blog, and it's defending himself from our criticism, allegedly. And it says that is that a donation button I see for the Freedom Fiends? Which this is in reference to you criticizing him for him e-begging. For past work that he's done.
Yeah, it wasn't that he's e-begging. It was for, like, he wanted to be paid for stuff he did 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That's not how
it
works.
Your day job not enough for you to live on, Michael W. Dean?
Nope. It was until I got sick.
Yeah.
You know, that's what George Donnelly should start is, like, health, like, libertarian, like if you get sick, being a libertarian, we'll give you money if you pay in.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd. Available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon. Prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Meow. Cody McBoat Face.
Harambe McHarambe Face is the name of the new Chinese gorilla in the Chinese zoo.
You know, the funny thing is, if I didn't know what Bodie McBoatface meant, a lot of people think, man, he's out of it. What is he? You know what I think? I think people who are on the internet a lot but don't know that kind of crap are probably smarter. That stuff's just all a distraction. It really is.
Yeah.
And I'm not even saying, like, it's the government trying to distract us. I just think it's people are stupid and want stupid things, and I look at stupid things sometimes and think they're funny.
Speaking of stupid things, yeah. Alongside Night.
Yeah, the movie by J.D. Freeman. Nice segue.
That's
he pulled me
radio.
Out of just complaining about the world and focused it on one really just laser pointer. You know, what's really wrong with this guy. So
yeah. So instead of just reading it, I'm just going to kind of give the gist of what each kind of sentence he said.
I think you should read it and then comment on it.
Okay.
Because otherwise, he's going to say, that's not what I said.
Yeah. So the last, quote, day job, unquote, I had was in 1981. Since then, I've made a living off being a book author, screenwriter, freelance journalist, book publisher, college instructor, film producer, and film director. Being self-employed, there's no safety net. Sometimes I'm broke, sometimes I'm in gravy. So since I give away a ton of stuff for free on the web, including downloadable books and streaming movies and videotapes, I ask fans for something to stretch the gap until my next deal, which my agent/producing partner is working on.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you right there.
Same donation button you use.
Yeah, yeah. We are not complaining about people who get donations. You know, this is a straw man that he's using, mm-hmm. or else he's retarded. Because this is the same straw man. This is the same straw man that people... Why not both? You know, I got the same straw man when I complained about Stefan Molyneux yelling at a broke college student for only sending him $2. People were like, hey, man, you take donations, too. No, that's not what I'm complaining about. I'm complaining about that he's an ungrateful Richard. And I'm complaining about what I'm mainly complaining about with donations with L. Ron Shulman is that he's doing it wrong. He's asking for money for things he did years ago, not what he's doing now and what he's about to do, which is how you should do it, which is what's – there's no should. There's what's successful, you know? I mean, occasionally, like – okay, going back to Selby, this writer
Bingo.
Named Richard Price – at one point before Selby's movies got made, when Selby was broke as hell and on welfare – In Los Angeles, starving, you know, famous American, great American writer, starving. Richard Price, who was heavily influenced by him, sent him a check for $10,000. Richard Price is the guy who made Clockers, and he also wrote on The Wire, and The Wire is based on Clockers, which is based on Selby. I mean, it's like without Selby... There's no The Wire. So when Richard Price was a millionaire working on The Wire, he was like, heard Selby was broke, didn't even really know him, sent him a check for 10 grand. That stuff happens sometimes, and that's appreciation for things done before, but it's appreciation for things done that made this guy a millionaire. So if J. Neil Shulman has made anyone a millionaire, and maybe that guy could give him some money. But us people with, you know, regular people who donate once in a while to things we like, we're not going to give somebody something for something they did 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's what I was laughing at him about.
Okay, so going on, Troll's got a troll. Hey, just for fun, for a change, why not troll non-libertarians just for giggles?
If he thinks you and I do not troll non-libertarians ever, man...
Yeah, we troll status.
We're also not really.
We troll Stefan Manu.
Yeah. We also weren't really trolling this guy when we started, but he takes criticism so badly that we actually kind of started trolling him. But everything we're saying is true, but we're kind of getting trolly about it because, you know, it's kind of like if he would stop complaining, we'd forget he exists. But he keeps. Yeah. It's kind of like when you pick on a bunch of people and one of them says, that's the kid that gets picked on more. You know, so he's being that kid, which I guess makes us bullies, but not really.
I wrote the above based on a tag for the show. Now that I've listened to the show, I have only a few comments. One, I am not an anarchist.
Okay, so this
I'm
is two different comments. He wrote that whole first comment without listening. You know, he probably thinks we should read his 300-page book. I think he should probably listen to the 15-minute segment where we talked about him. So then he did and made another comment.
I'm not a minarchist, I'm an ANCAP, specifically an agorist, specifically one of the two and surviving founders of agorism.
Who votes?
We didn't even say he was a minarchist.
We did not.
Ugh.
Oh, I did, because he's voting for Trump.
Yeah.
That's not anarchist, man.
No.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
But I'll address the Bitcoin part and why it's wrong.
Bitcoin wrong, okay.
No. Daniel Schulman is wrong.
Daniel Schulman wrong. No, I think it's great that there's now a weekly segment dedicated to Daniel Schulman. It's really important.
Does Angela realize we're on the air and there's like raging music drowning her out?
Oh my God.
I don't think so. All right.
Raging.
That's right. I don't have the GNC thing up.
Raging GCN, the name of her. What's the brand of marijuana that you're consuming tonight? What's it called? They have these flower brands.
I was gonna say GNC is a online, you know, is a storefront and online health
vitamin
supplement
pyramid. Well, no, multi-level marketing, isn't it, Jim?
You know all those stores.
GNC.
I think the one she's smoking is called Vicks Out for Harambe.
I'm thinking of Herbalife Lighters. Is what I'm thinking of. That's the multi-level marketing one. All right, we're talking about Daniel Schulman. Read more, please, of what he says, and then we'll talk about
he was defending himself, saying that I am not a minarchist, I'm an ANCAP. Specifically, I'm an agorist, specifically one of the two and surviving founders of agorism. Samuel L. Edward Konkin III, and his afterwards, in his early paperback novel, Alongside Night, How Far Alongside Night, according to the Wikipedia article on agorism, credited Schulman with the integration of are integrating the science of counter-economics with Konkin's basic
economic philosophy. I don't think that Konkin's cool. I really don't think Konkin's cool. I think that's like saying...
Rothbard called him a fat loser.
I mean, I think it's like saying... Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a Dungeons & Dragons aficionado, which they're not all bad, but that kind of... The term neckbeard libertarian, or even just neckbeard, you know, should have an asterisk about Dungeons and Dragons, I think.
And Konkin. Konkin was definitely Konkin. A shut-in who had a filthy home, so what I heard. Yeah, like,
I don't get out much, but I spend a lot of time cleaning, actually, even though it makes, because if I don't, like, I'm allergic to dust, you know, so I put on a mask and, like, vacuum, and I clean, and I do dishes, and I, you know, I don't like
I have a hard time keeping things clean around my place, but, you know, like, once it starts getting really bad, I force myself to watch Hoarders, and then I clean like crazy.
Yes,
so,
there you
go. So, two, I'm suspicious of cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. I see them as a variant of banknotes unbacked or exceeding a warehouse stock of any physical commodity such as gold or silver. Read Rothbard, Konkin, or Von Mises for more on this. But he takes Fed notes.
He takes Fed notes. Yeah.
Yeah.
He wants U.S. dollars in PayPal form as donations.
I don't like Bitcoin because there's too much like Federal Reserve notes, which I take.
No, it's nothing like Federal Reserve notes. It's like Federal Reserve notes in that it's not backed by a physical commodity. And people say it's backed by the electricity it takes to mine it. In a way it is, but not really.
Not really.
That makes it hard to just anybody to make it. But it actually takes some effort. It's kind of created by work and electricity. So, you can't just say, well, I'm going to print some more. The biggest way it's not like Federal Reserve notes is there's a limited amount.
Yeah.
There's an absolute cap on how much Bitcoin there will be.
Well, not to get too nerdy, but to real quick, Mises and Rothbard and all these people who have talked about like how currencies come to be and how Bitcoin and people use it as an argument for against Bitcoin, fail to notice that they weren't alive when that thing happened, so they're not here to defend themselves or support this idea. But they say that it's not backed by anything, therefore it can't be money. But that's not true. Bitcoin is a service. A transfer service, so therefore it actually existed as a service before it became it, so it would still fall under Mises' idea of money. So that's kind
And what gives it value is people giving it value, and that is not likely to change overnight. I think he's worried about Bitcoin by thinking it's going to just become worthless suddenly. And that's really unlikely. It's a lot more likely that Federal Reserve notes could quickly lose a bunch of value. Although the U.S. has been doing a pretty sterling job of continuing the lie to make money have some value while they chip away at it and steal a little bit from every paycheck by doing so with inflation. But
either way, he's taking the one reserve currency, or the one currency that he is accusing of being because for the same reasons he's not taking the other. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, so number three, you and Jim Jesus, that'd be me, whose three-part video, quote-unquote, reviewing. Am I not reviewing?
I tried to start a rumor that me, Michael Dean, is just a sock puppet of you, because it was a joke because this guy thought we were the same person for a while.
Yeah. Whose three-part video, quote-unquote, reviewing the Alongside Night movie I published on my own blogs, are entitled not to appreciate my movies, but they do have their fans. Out of the 96 Amazon.com reviews, there are an average for the Alongside movie of 2.8 out of the 5 stars. I'm convinced it would be even higher if Amazon would match the IP addresses of anonymous sock puppet accounts that have been trolling me on the web for since. Well, if that's the case, why are they trolling you? Probably because your movie is bad. And
yeah, he calls criticism trolling, and I think that what would be trolling with Amazon? Well, let's see. I've had a little bit of trolling on some of my books because I've had people that have never read the books that didn't like me personally writing bad reviews. And I know the people, and I actually got Amazon to remove them because it was easy to do because the people were stupid because they didn't say anything about the book. It was just lies about me. And Amazon is pretty good about that. If the person says nothing about the book and they didn't buy it on Amazon, you could review books on Amazon if you didn't buy it there, but you have to have bought something on Amazon. So if you've bought something on Amazon, but you didn't buy the book there, you can review the book there. But if the author or the publisher complains to Amazon, maybe he doesn't know this. If you complain to Amazon, and there's an address that I'll sell him for $1, the address that you complain to, the email address.
And I know that one of the Amazon.com reviews for his book that's a glowing review is a troll. And it says that there was a giant...
It's probably him.
I know who wrote it.
Oh, it's someone joking, like a joke review.
Yeah, it's like one of those like, oh, it's this film is absolutely amazing, and went on to say that they did an open place screening at Porkfest, which is a whole kind of inside joke. And then they showed a picture of Porkfest playing the movie on a huge screen, but it's totally photoshopped and faked.
he
thought it was real, and he responded to it. He responded to it glowing like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Where was this film? So he didn't even know that he was being trolled, even in the positive light. So,
yeah. So that's trolling. But
yeah, number four, I'm not sitting back on my laurels. I have posted the first five chapters of my current novel in progress, The Fractal Man, at website. I currently have three finished.
I'm going to interrupt you there, J. Neil Schulman. I think Angela's got things to say about you. Go ahead, Angela.
Well, I just have like one more sentence, and then this is
all right.
It.
Go ahead.
And I have three finished feature film screenplays, half a dozen treatments ranging from the suspense to the supernatural horror to comedies on the market. Several of them I've written in the last 12 months. My day job. The end.
Blah, blah, blah. You know, I just go back to, you know, other than he doesn't understand Bitcoin at all, and he would be making money probably. He'd probably be getting one and a half to twice the donations he is if he took Bitcoin.
Yeah. You know, Kevin Sorbo said he doesn't like him or Alongside Night.
You know, you can hey, J. Neil Schulman, did you know you can convert convert Bitcoin to U.S. dollars pretty easily? So if you took donations in this thing that you don't trust, you could convert it to U.S. Federal Reserve notes, which apparently you trust a lot, immediately, and not have to keep it as Bitcoin. Secondly, you can spend it on Amazon, you can spend it on all sorts of places. You can pay web hosting with it. Not that anyone looks at your website. You know he has an Alexa ranking of 17 million on his website? That means one person a day is looking at it, probably other than him.
Yeah, I'm
sure he's going to forward me stats now, but you know what? Alexa's not perfect, but it's in the ballpark.
Yeah, I've had someone who is really good at SEO look at both. I didn't even ask him to. He just
that did. Guy's no, but that guy's correct about SEO usually, but that guy's insane. I've blocked him.
Yeah, I know. I know you blocked
him. A lot of people blocked him. You know, there's not much me and Cantwell agree on, but the fact that what's that guy's name?
Ethan Glover.
That Ethan Glover is a weenie is Cantwell, and I could toast some non-alcoholic beer to that fact. All right, so Angela, please tell us your piece, please, on this guy we're talking about.
I am so glad that Daniel Schulman is being aired. I mean, I'm glad that we're having an out discussion, and
speak
we're going to go
ma'am.
Work by work. I want to go piece by piece in the body of work that Daniel Schulman's given.
You got 3 minutes.
I want everything to be defended. Two and a half. I want everything. I want him to defend every piece. And I want every article he's written, every blog entry, every time he's been to the Carl Hess Supper Club, all 8 hours of his experience with God. And I want him to defend that, too. And I want that all aired out. And I want a broader discussion of if OJ didn't do it.
What do you mean
that's
by that?
That's one of J. Neil Schulman's most important works, where he looks at alternative theories on the O.J. Simpson murders. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's
well,
right.
You told me what you want from him, but you didn't really tell me what you don't like about him. For people who don't know and aren't going to be listening to the episode when he may come back and or may not, tell me something about him that you know that I don't know.
Well, no, I think we've just, you know, last week I discussed that it's a very important part of my speaking career is when Neil shows up and brings his own special event to it. It's like I'm doing an event and he brings something special to it. If I'm talking about Iraq, he will get in back of the back of the room and be there later, coming a little later, which is good. You want to come in about 10 minutes into one of my speeches and then sit down and then breathe really heavily a lot as you're sitting. Oh, oh.
He's breathing at you, in other words.
At everybody, at everything.
Yeah.
That's
he's harumphing. It's the passive-aggressive version of harumph, which is passive-aggressive in and of itself.
Yeah.
Okay, so then what's he do?
Start with that.
Does he come up to you afterwards? Does he raise his hand and bother you?
Oh, there's the going to eat with his entourage. There's the whole Chelsea Manning incident. It goes on and on and on. There's a list of Neil Schulman.
He's going to know what you're talking about, but we don't. But maybe you can tell us some redemption in the third act.
There's no redemption.
Okay. I like that. That's the redemption. J. Neil Schulman, there's none.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
So Ben Stone is awesome. I just want to make that really clear.
Yeah.
Ben Stone is awesome. He did nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. This was all the USPS touching me inappropriately. Okay. I want to preface this before I get to my story. So I had ordered Ben Stone's book. You can get it at bedquaker.com. Is that right? Bedquaker.com. He wrote a book, allegedly wrote a book, and he's selling this book. And I bought allegedly. A copy with Bitcoin. Allegedly, and with Bitcoin, allegedly, and he sent me a copy of this book via media mail to my P.O. box. Now, the address was right, but they said that the address was wrong. So they returned to sender on him, and we were kind of like, okay, idiots, we'll try this again. And so he sent it to my house. I was like, just send it to my house, just media mail, whatever. And he was like, no, I'll pay a little bit extra and send it, what is it, two-day shipping to your house. So he sent it to my house, and it was marked delivered, and that was it. I did not get it in my mailbox. It was not on my front door. Don't know what happened to it. And I've been trying to get a hold of the post office, been yelling at them, demanding a refund. And, you know, because it was also insured. So, you know, he could get the $13 plus whatever it cost for shipping. And they said they were going to mail me out a thing to get a refund. And then, you know, I still haven't got it. They said it was going to take a few days to mail a letter to me. Ugh. So after putting me through all this hell... and you know, we just thought the book was lost, either that they, you know, threw it away or put it at the wrong house or whatever. He gets it back a few days later with a return to sender thing on it, saying that there was no corrected, there was the address was wrong and there was no correct place to send it to. But you saw this package, right, Michael? You saw the picture that Ben Stone sent, right?
He sent it to me too.
Yeah, and it was the right address. You've sent stuff to that address before, right?
I've been there. I come hang out outside. We've never met, but you don't know this. Sometimes on the weekends, I drive to Vegas, and I hang out in your lobby and kind of hide behind the ferns, and I spy on you.
That's where that auction machine is going. Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that. So, again, we didn't know what was going on, but they just sent it back to him, and, you know, the right address was on it. And he sent me a copy, another copy, and you sent me a copy, too, via media mail. He sent me a copy USPS. So, Brown delivers when the government doesn't.
Yeah.
And so, I got it today, and he wrote a little message in there saying... something about the Doobie Brothers. I could pull it up, but I'm lazy.
The Doobie Brothers?
Yeah, the Doobie Brothers said that, you know, keep on Jesus and keep swatting that hornet's nest or something like that. So,
I thought really you meant the Doobie Brothers said, you know, if you want something right, use UPS, not the UPS.
I'm sure they would. I'm sure they had
It's the chorus at 29 or 6 to 4, isn't it? I'm pretty sure.
One toke, man. Anyways, So I finally got a copy of the book, and I have your copy that's coming soon. But Ben Stone still has a copy that was addressed to me with a number on it and everything. And he spent at least $7 to ship it the 2 day. Didn't get it. It's probably spent maybe like $2 to ship it via media mail. Never got it. And, you know, he ended up having to send me another copy of this book. And now he has a copy of a book that he signed to me. And I think the best way to deal with this problem, to get him a little bit of money back from all of this stuff, is to start it like an auction. And, you know, just have an auction to see who wants to get the book that the USPS refused to deliver to me.
And, and it will be delivered UPS to the person.
Yeah, and have it delivered.
I have an even better idea. I don't know if Ben would want to be in on our bashing, but how about if he has this, the thing you're talking about, but promises to donate the money to J. Neil Schulman?
Or better yet, there is actually a organization that's trying to get USPS to reform or to shut down or whatever. And they have been kind of supporting us on Twitter in the process. Maybe that money should go to them.
Let's say something.
Oh, Angela. Yes. I didn't see you there. I didn't see you come in.
J. Neil Schulman's book is The Frame of the Century about O.J. Simpson. New facts, old facts, the truth.
Were you around during the break? We were looking for you.
I was briefly in a closet.
Oh, come out, Angela. That's not even funny, but you set me up. I could not do it. Okay. So, anyway, Jim, Ben Stone is awesome. What's that?
Alongside Night should be a strain of marijuana.
Alongside Night. Yeah, and it would say, and when you go into the medical place and they have all the descriptions of like what it treats, it would say,